Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled Complete in Him. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall take our Bible reading from Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. For in him all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been filled in him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. I have just read from the New English Translation. When Amir wanted to be free from the demonic powers that held him bound since his university days, he decided to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Even though he had always known that Jesus could save him, he thought becoming a believer in Christ would take away from him and make his life miserable. No more partying, no more hanging out and fun, etc. But the opposite was the case. After receiving the Lord Jesus, the emptiness in his soul vanished. And he started feeling complete and filled. He discovered that he no longer needed alcohol, drugs, partying, etc. to feel complete. All those things never really made him complete, but only plunged him deeper into darkness. His fellowship with Christ through the Holy Spirit and fellowship with brethren was more filling and fulfilling than anything he had explored before. One of the biggest deceptions of the devil to the people in the world is that if they accept the Lord Jesus, they would be forsaking a full and exciting life for a life that would be empty, dull, and dreary. But the opposite is the case. No matter how many accomplishments a man has or how far he explores in the world, he would always feel empty without Christ. No matter how much a man tries to satisfy his flesh with pleasures, he would be left empty. It is only in Christ that a human being can find completeness and purpose. Man was created in the image of God. It is only Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that can fill man. Go into today remembering that the old feeling of emptiness cannot be the portion of a person who abides in Christ. In Christ lies the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are filled in him. No more emptiness. Glory to Jesus. Heavenly Father, help me to appreciate and make the most of this truth that I am filled and complete in you. If you have not yet accepted Christ as your Lord, but wish to be saved, let's pray this prayer together. Ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you for the way you have been living contrary to his will. Hand over the ownership and government of your life to Christ today by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You can say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today that I am a sinner. I ask you to save me and give me your Spirit. I confess that you are Lord, and I believe that you died for me and resurrected on the third day for my salvation. Thank you, Father, for receiving me into your glorious family. In Jesus' name I pray. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Numbers chapters 9 to 12. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, Numbers chapters 9 to 12.
The Lord spoke to Moses in the desert of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt. He said,
have the Israelites celebrate the Passover at the appointed time. Celebrate it at the appointed time at twilight, on the 14th day of this month, in accordance with all its rules and regulations.
So Moses told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover, and they did so in the desert of Sinai at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. But some of them could not celebrate the Passover on that day, because they were ceremonially unclean on account of a dead body. So they came to Moses and Aaron that same day and said to Moses,
we have become unclean because of a dead body. But why should we be kept from presenting the Lord's offering with the other Israelites at the appointed time?
Moses answered them,
wait until I find out what the Lord commands concerning you.
Then the Lord said to Moses,
tell the Israelites, when any of you or your descendants are unclean because of a dead body or are away on a journey, they are still to celebrate the Lord's Passover. But they are to do it on the 14th day of the second month at twilight. They are to eat the lamb together with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They must not leave any of it till morning or break any of its bones. When they celebrate the Passover, they must follow all the regulations. But if anyone who is ceremonially clean and not on a journey fails to celebrate the Passover, they must be cut off from their people for not presenting the Lord's offering at the appointed time. They will bear the consequences of their sin. A foreigner residing among you is also to celebrate the Lord's Passover in accordance with its rules and regulations. You must have the same regulations for both the foreigner and the native born.
On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then, at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, or a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. The Lord said to Moses,
"Make 2 trumpets of hammered silver and use them for calling the community together and for having the camps set out. When both are sounded, the whole community is to assemble before you at the entrance to the tent of meeting. If only one is sounded, the leaders, the heads of the clans of Israel, are to assemble before you. When a trumpet blast is sounded, the tribes camping on the east are to set out. At the sounding of a second blast, the camps on the south are to set out. The blast will be the signal for setting out. To gather the assembly, blow the trumpets, but not with the signal for setting out. The sons of Aaron, the priests, are to blow the trumpets. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you and the generations to come. When you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you will be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies. Also, at your times of rejoicing, your appointed festivals and new moon feasts, you are to sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, and they will be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God."
On the 20th day of the 2nd month of the 2nd year, the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle of the covenant law. Then the Israelites set out from the desert of Sinai and traveled from place to place until the cloud came to rest in the desert of Paran. They set out this first time at the Lord's command through Moses. The divisions of the camp of Judah went first under their standard. Nashon, son of Amminadab, was in command. Nethanel, son of Zuar, was over the division of the tribe of Issachar. And Eliab, son of Helon, was over the division of the tribe of Zebulun. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the Gershonites and Merarites who carried it set out. The divisions of the camp of Reuben went next under their standard. Elizur, son of Shedeur, was in command. Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai, was over the division of the tribe of Simeon. And Eliasaph, son of Duel, was over the division of the tribe of Gad. Then the Kohathites set out, carrying the holy things. The tabernacle was to be set up before they arrived. The divisions of the camp of Ephraim went next under their standard. Elishama, son of Amiat, was in command. Gamaliel, son of Pedazur, was over the division of the tribe of Manasseh, and Abidan, son of Gideoni, was over the division of the tribe of Benjamin. Finally, as the rear guard for all the units, the divisions of the camp of Dan set out under their standard. Ahiezer, son of Amishaddai, was in command. Pagiel, son of Ochran, was over the division of the tribe of Asher, and Ahira, son of Enan, was over the division of the tribe of Naphtali. This was the order of march for the Israelite divisions as they set out. Now Moses said to Hobab, son of Reuel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law,
"We are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel."
He answered,
"No, I will not go. I am going back to my own land and my own people."
But Moses said,
"Please, do not leave us. You know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us."
So they set out from the mountain of the Lord and traveled for 3 days. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them during those 3 days to find them a place to rest. The cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Whenever the ark set out, Moses said,
"Rise up, Lord. May your enemies be scattered. May your foes flee before you."
Whenever it came to rest, he said,
"Return, Lord, to the countless thousands of Israel."
Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said,
"If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost.
Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna."
The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. People went around gathering it and then ground it in a handmill, or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into loaves. And it tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord,
"Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me if I have found favor in your eyes. And do not let me face my own ruin."
The Lord said to Moses,
bring me 70 of Israel's elders, who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you, so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, "If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt." Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day, or 2 days, or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wailed before him, saying, "Why did we ever leave Egypt?"
But Moses said,
"Here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, 'I will give them meat to eat for a whole month.' Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?"
The Lord answered Moses,
"Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you."
So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses,
"Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp."
Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said,
"Moses, my lord, stop them."
But Moses replied,
"Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them."
Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It scattered them up to 2 cubits deep all around the camp, as far as a day's walk in any direction. All that day and night, and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Then they spread them out all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. Therefore the place was named Kibroth Hatteva, because there they buried the people who had craved other food. From Kibroth Hatteva, the people traveled to Huzirath and stayed there. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite.
"Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?"
they asked.
"Hasn't he also spoken through us?"
And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam,
"Come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you."
So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said,
"Listen to my words. When there are prophets of the Lord among you, I reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease, and he said to Moses,
"Please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb, with its flesh half eaten away."
So Moses cried out to the Lord,
"Please, God, heal her."
The Lord replied to Moses,
"If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back."
So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. After that, the people left Hazereth and encamped in the desert of Paran.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.